Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
And welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Well, good morning, bros.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. It's terrible to stay up late.
It really depends for me. It really depends what energy I'm putting out there.
You know why I say it's terrible to stay up late? Because, oh God, I'm just such a fucking idiot sometimes. I decide on a whim, like, tonight's the night that I'm gonna get Ruth to start sleeping in her bed by herself.
Oh, you
all
make
night
those
again.
Those decisions
just off the cuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the night before I got really good sleep, so then I was like, you know, I'm not on operating on fumes.
No, you're
right,
like,
now. Let's do it.
I feel full. I feel ready to step into this. Yeah, I think that, but I also feel like those sometimes have to be made like in knee jerk moments because it's just anxiety causing. Yeah. So sometimes when you're like, I'm feeling it, so I'm just going to try it.
You know what's hard though is because she can escape. I woke up then in the middle of the night after we went, you know, battled for hours and I kept going back in. You know, you're sitting in your crib tonight. I know you're upset.
I see you. I hear you. I wake up
at like 3 a.m. and she's in bed with us. And I didn't even realize she's been in bed with us.
She's been in bed with us for hours. To have a camera to see this recorded, the entire thing, her slowly crawling out of her, like, or shuffling out of her crib, and then slowly making her way into the room quietly because she's like, I don't want to wake up mom and dad. And just like slipping in under the covers. And you know when you hold your breath so that people can't hear you, you're like, I bet she had that full process and then she passed out.
Yeah, just
that is
little mouse.
So cute. Frustrating, but really cute. Frustrating,
it's
but really cute.
It's not the first time that happened, so I'm just perplexed because I'm like, I can't even catch her in the moment when she's getting back in bed with us.
You're like, what am I supposed to do in this situation?
I guess I could close our door because then it would be kind of loud, her opening the door. So then I'd hear her open the door, so then I could catch her and
that's
put her
true.
Back in her bed.
That's true.
But I like to just the door open.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Nice try, bitch. So, yeah.
I'm so sorry. So that's it was a rough night.
Yeah. I had accepted my fate, so I had made peace with it. I didn't tell Gray, though, that's what we were doing, you know, and he was working late last night, and he gets home at 11.
And you're like, surprise, honey. I know it's been a long one.
Actually, what we're going to be doing is
time to buckle up, baby. It's going to be a long night.
Put in your AirPods. Turn that white noise way up. It's going down.
I got a call for my child in the middle of the night last night. Uh-huh. All of a sudden, it's like 2 a.m. uh-huh. and I hear, mommy, mama, and I'm like, okay, and I go in. Ember's sitting up in bed and she says, and I hand to God, she says, she's staring at me and she goes, sleep is my most favorite thing in the whole entire world. It helps me rest my body, oddy, oddy.
My body, oddy, oddy. What the fuck?
So there's two factors in this.
One, she wakes
you're
up.
You're waking me up in the middle of the night.
You're like, the irony. You tell me how much you love sleep. Did you ever think maybe I do too?
I'm like, what are you, some type of fucking author? You're digging for the irony in this that you're waking me from my blissful sleep where I'm finally asleep to let me know how sleep is your most favorite thing. And then, number two, to rest your body, oddy, oddy.
One of my favorite quotes of her in a while.
We've been watching a lot of Drag Race lately because we're planning to go to Drag Con. So she's been hearing body, oddy, oddy a lot. It's just like,
it helps me rest my body, oddy, oddy. That is so funny.
And then I was like, and then I couldn't go back to sleep after that because I was just lying in my bed, just like so perplexed at my child. I'm just like, she just told me to rest her body, yaddy, yaddy.
Helps me rest so my body, yaddy, yaddy.
And then I have to wake up Evan, you know, to tell him, obviously, what she just said. And so then we're all awake, you know.
I, you know what? I have a story, too. And this is actually all a perfect segue into something I want to talk about. So speaking of her body, yaddy, yaddy. Ruth, we're walking the other day. This is not as funny, but still quite like when you look at your kid and you're like,
you're like, what is going on?
So we are like walking down the street, going back to the car. We are on a little outing and this guy walks by. I'm holding Ruth my hand in my arms and he goes, oh, you know, like she's so cute or whatever. And she looks at me and she goes, I am. I'm super cute. She goes, like, Ted's here, I'm super cute. And then we keep walking and she goes, he said I was cute. She's just like, yeah, she's like, he said I was cute.
She's still thinking about it.
Like 30 seconds later, she's like, he said I was cute. And I'm like, first of all, like, so weird because people obviously tell a toddler all the time they're
of
cute.
Of course.
And it's just this random man, like a random 40-something-year-old man.
But she really locked into it.
She was like, I am. I'm super cute. And then she's like, he said I was cute. That was highlight of her weekend, you know, is him telling her that she was cute.
And she was like, up in her bed last night. That's why she was awake. Like, she was just like, I am so cute.
Super cute.
The people think that I'm so cute. What did you say to her? Were you like, yeah,
I just was
you
like,
really are
cracking up. But I was like there and I of course repeated what she said. I was like, she just said like, I am. I'm super cute.
Did she get upset when you repeat what she said
no,
to
she's
Gray?
Like, yes.
She loves it. Okay.
You know, just looking around, just like,
she soaks it in. She's like, yes.
Yeah, she's kind of like sheepish. She's like,
my cute little heart.
Okay, broads, quick pause. Listen, now that my daughter is in school, tear. It literally feels like she's constantly learning new things. Every single day, she's teaching me about things I never knew before. And let me tell you, as a parent, there is no better feeling than seeing your little one grow to love learning. So, of course, I'm trying to do everything I can to foster that growth so she keeps loving to learn. And my secret weapon for learning at home is KiwiCo.
Moms, dads, aunts, uncles, friends of people with kids, whoever. If you have a little one in your life, you've got to check out KiwiCo. They're defining the future of play by making it engaging, enriching, and most importantly, really, really fun. Each month, your kid gets their own special Kiwi crate. It's filled with activities that are made specifically for their age group, from science to art. There are a lot of fun things for you and your little one to do together, and each is centered around the theme of the crate to help your child understand the subject better.
Anyone who has ever talked to my daughter Ember has more than likely heard about or has even seen her latest KiwiCo projects. She is completely obsessed, and so am I. It's such a fun way for us to spend time together, and my personal favorite part, parents, caretakers. Everything you need for each project is included. Yes, really, everything. No more last-minute trips to the store for tape or digging through your junk drawers for a glue stick. You can spend less time running around and more time learning and playing with your child.
Redefine learning with play and explore hands-on projects that build creative confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code chatty at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code chatty.
Okay, one thing we should all absolutely be leaving behind in 2021. No, not your ex. I mean, probably them too. But I'm talking about uncomfortable shoes. Life is too short to wear shoes that give you blisters, okay? Ever since I started wearing Rothy's, I've been a diehard fan because, broads, when I say these shoes are comfy, that doesn't even do them justice. Dare I say, these are the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn. And I will dare to say it because it is absolutely true.
Well, I mean, look, you're not wrong. Rothy's shoes are next level comfortable. We're talking zero break-in period. You just put them on and off you go. But wait, it gets better. Because all Rothy's shoes are 100% machine washable, I cannot tell you how much longer my shoes last now that I can just toss them in the wash when they look a little bit dirty. It's pretty amazing. They always come out looking brand new. And plus, Rothy's shoes are made out of recycled water bottles, so you can feel extra good about your purchase.
And to my husband's delight, Rothy's is now making shoes for men, so everyone in your family can enjoy the world's most comfortable shoes. But let's be clear. Rothy's are so, so much more than just comfortable. They're also so cute. Sneakers, loafers, ankle boots, so much more. There's a Rothy shoe for every occasion. I love my sneakers. I have them in white. They're so cute. And also, I always wear Rothy's best-selling Point in black. There is literally no outfit it doesn't go with. And while you're at it, check out the rest of Rothy's 100% washable products, like their bags and wallets.
Hit the new year in stride with a fresh pair of Rothy's. New customers get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/chatty. That's rothys.com/chatty.
Yeah, so that is interesting. But my segue for that with also her body, Adi. Okay. I've really been wanting to talk about this. So I saw that you're halfway through My Body, Adi, Adi by Emily Ratajkowski.
Yes.
Which is, I just finished recently.
So, Beck, you got it for Christmas, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, let's break this down.
Okay, so Emily Ratajkowski, Emrata, model, mm-hmm. Instagram girl, mm-hmm. etc. She wrote this book, and when I got it for Christmas, I was like, oh.
You're like, thank you so much.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, God, all right, here we go. Just because I'm like, okay, you know, you're like, well, what does she have to say in this book of essays, like, hot, about her body?
Yeah, her hot girl.
Yeah, and also whenever, you know, while I like agree with some of her sentiments about certain things, like, you know, whenever she posts like something about making a political statement on Instagram, it's always like her fully naked, and I'm just like, all right, we get it. You know,
so, like, I know I'm hot. I'm going to go. I know you're hot. I'm going to go cry right now. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I was kind of like, all right. But then I sat down and read it, and then I had a hard time putting it down.
Yeah.
I was enveloped.
I was pretty shocked. I felt very, very skeptical about starting to read a book from Emily Ratajkowski. Ratajkowski? Yeah. I never know
Who knows? Emrata.
But wow, it was quite fantastic and very, it made me very introspective.
Okay, so this is what, you haven't finished it, right?
No, not yet.
I mean, you haven't, there's nothing that you, since it's like a series of essays, it's not like you're missing anything.
Which I actually really enjoy that too. I was like, I love that this isn't just this, she didn't write it as like this, like, you know, basically like biography about herself. It's like a bunch of essays throughout different periods of her life.
Yeah.
And they're broken into like really short little pieces.
Yeah, the interesting thing I felt about it is that it felt extremely relatable, even as she's talking about like some very like unrelatable things.
I felt the exact same way.
And I don't like
way.
Using that word, but it was
I was
relatable.
Reading it and I was like, I have felt this. And I'm like, Emrata and I have felt the same thing. Like, why?
It was also like a good, did you get to the part where she goes to where she gets paid $25,000 to go to the football game?
Uh-huh.
Just like that whole thing, I really connected with it. She's talking about getting paid to basically make an appearance for this very wealthy gentleman and not even really interacting, just kind of being there, just, you know, because she's an it girl or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, just like her feelings and her thoughts and watching... what's her name? So there's this part where then she's also witnessing a Victoria's Secret model, Miranda Kerr.
Yes, Miranda Kerr.
Yeah, she's watching like Miranda Kerr like pretend fake throwback shots and how this guy then ends up getting caught for embezzlement years later. And he like she had to return like $8 million in jewelry or something. Uh-huh. And they couldn't get this. There was this see-through piano in her home, a baby grand clear piano. And they couldn't even seize it because they didn't know how to get it out of her home. Anyway, but she's just talking about like, I had never known how to like play this game that like she knows how to play so well. And just all these different themes that I found really interesting and really it like broke the seal on this mirage of her life.
It was definitely an interesting read, and I did appreciate in the essays too. There was an ownership. It was interesting because it was like there was definitely an ownership of like the mass privilege that she has.
Yeah,
as you know, falling hot into this person. Category that's like the, you know, having these, the body standards and all of this and being a white girl in the end, like all of these things. That was so interesting when she was talking about how she was raised, her relationship with her mother, I found to be so interesting. So she's basically talking about how her mother was this absolute beauty, and that's what her mother was then obsessed with about herself, and then put that on Emrata as well.
And anyone else in their vicinity, right?
Anyone else.
Beauty was value, and that was the only thing of value, kind of.
And she was talking about, too, where it's like her mom encouraged her, like, if you want to wear that and show off your body, you wear that and show off your body. So she had this encouragement from her mom to not ever be ashamed or hide who she is. So you'd think you'd be like, okay, well, then that's good, right? Because you have a parent who's not discouraging or who not making you feel shame for your body. But then the flip side of that was that her mom only put value on her body.
Well, that's the thing. When you said, like, don't be ashamed of, like, who she is, that's the problem, is that the beauty was who she was.
And exactly.
That's it. And that's that was the defining factor of, like, you are your beauty.
Yes. And then Emrata was talking about then, which I thought was so interesting, was she was talking about how her mother's father, so her grandfather, was like this guy who had graduated Juilliard at like 14 and then became a chemist and was wildly successful and smart. And he then would always say to his daughter, Emrata's mother, never say thank you to people when they tell you that you're beautiful, because that's not something you did.
Right.
But that's then what her mom, all she felt that she could offer.
Right.
So there's then this weird thing where the mom's like, you are your beauty and you need to, like, that, that's all you are. But then you can't say thank you because you didn't earn, like, you didn't work for that. That's so there was these, all these conflicting messages.
Paradoxes.
That then when she was talking about it, as she's growing up, that she's processing with, like, through high school. It's so interesting.
Yeah. And then I read some reviews of it, which I thought were, to be honest, I disagreed with and thought were a little silly. It was like, but she can't have her cake and eat it too and critique the system while also operating in it. And it's kind of like, okay, I see you, but also, I don't know. It's like, what's the alternative? Like,
I feel like I'm appreciating about it, because I get that for sure.
But it's like, but if that person was in her place, what are they suggesting? That she should take this, like, revolutionary approach where she's like, I'm not going to show my body and I will not make any money from it. Like, okay, someone could do that, but, like,
right.
Are you going to refuse to participate in the capitalist system with this article that you're writing for the New York Times magazine or whatever? Like,
right. It's, but that's
strange to me.
That's what I've been appreciating about reading her book, because I was expecting it to be very, like, woe is me. Yeah, my life is so hard. What I appreciated about it is that acknowledging the privilege and acknowledging all the things that come from it, but then also talking about this flip side, that I feel like, you know, can I imagine that world? No, but it's an interesting read to read about it.
And also, like, life's, what she's shedding light on is also, like, life's not perfect for anyone. And that is a universal truth of, like, life's fucking hard.
Yeah.
It's easier in certain ways if you're hot. You know, she's talking about all these different.
She talks about all the sexual assault that's happened. Like, I mean, and
being in a super exploitative industry where you're just thrown into bad situations, like really unsafe situations at times.
Yeah. Talking about having to dissociate from her body, like how she never feels like she's in her body. I mean, it's
now this is the one thing about it that was strange. When I finished it, I had like a probably solid 2 weeks where I was very introspective, but also it actually brought up a ton of body stuff that maybe wasn't even there before.
Uh-huh.
Like, literally, like,
really?
Oh, like, yeah, like, literally was kind of being consumed with, like, it was interesting. I had this personal experience of, after reading the book, when normally I have a fairly, like, fuck it attitude towards certain things with beauty, where I'm just like, oh, you know, fuck it, I am who I am. I actually became very, like, hyper concerned and hyper aware with certain things and felt fuck it in a different way where I was like, fuck it. I should just, you know, do this and this and this and this and this to all. It was strange to read her story about how beauty does not solve all your problems. And in some ways it can make your life more difficult. I still came away from the book actually feeling more consumed and hyper aware of how I was presenting myself in normal beauty standards. Like it actually made me want to, like, you know, just reading her stuff, talking about weight and stuff like that, of like, you know, in your head are like, you know, beauty standard bullshit. But it was really interesting that I had the experience of being actually more, way more consumed temporarily with body image.
Do you regret reading it?
No.
No.
I mean, because I mean, even if I felt that way, I still then had the opportunity to process that and think about that and be like, okay, well, why did I feel this way? And, you know, but, you know, maybe a month ago before reading this perspective, I didn't feel that way. And why is that? So like, no, I don't regret reading it. I don't feel like it was like triggering about anything. I guess it I don't know. It was just, it was strange to me that that was the,
well, I definitely think the book could be triggering because I understand that reading it. The thing that was so interesting to me about it too, is like I was saying, I've been enjoying reading it. I think it's an interesting read for sure. And then hearing then some of the reviews, it's like, I get it too. It's like, I understand how the book could be upsetting for some people.
Yeah. At the same time, I'm like, her experience is her experience. And she's writing about it in a way that's so.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
factual.
I think. Yeah. That's kind of what I've been just trying to take away from it. Because when I've been reading it, I'm interested to then finish it and see kind of how I feel afterwards. Yeah. Because, you know, I've like body image and dysmorphia and disorders. I've had that a lot of my life. But when I've been reading it, it so far hasn't been triggering that for me. It's just been an interesting perspective into someone's life. That's kind of what it's just been. It's been an interesting window that I think I've been able to enjoy more reading because of the format of the way that it's written.
Do you know what I think it is for me? I don't think it's like bringing up insecurities so much. It's not like that. I think my experience coming away from the book was more like, and she talks about it, of like being competitive and having this kind of edge. And what you can take away from the book is the way she looks has made her successful. And so I think that that's actually kind of what got in my head from it, of like,
interesting,
as actually a thing about success. And like, maybe if I can make myself even more, I mean, this is like the subconscious thing going on. This was not my, stream of thought, but it was like, what I think it was is like, if I can make myself even more, you know, commercially desirable,
maybe I'll have more success.
Yeah, you can get an edge on the people you work with and this and that, photos online, all that kind of thing. So yeah, it was interesting. But all that being said, yeah, some of the reviews I read, I just kind of rolled my eyes at, because I was like, I don't think it is a woe is me narrative. And I don't think, what I enjoyed about the book is that she's not trying to tie everything up in a neat little bow with a this is the takeaway. It's kind of like, this is my experience and I sometimes don't know what to make of this and don't know what to make of that, and there are paradoxes in life,
right? Well, she said at the top,
and within myself,
yeah, she said in the intro, she was like, this isn't a book of me figuring out any sort of answers. This is just me kind of processing being in this capitalist, white supremacist, patriarchal position, where I also feel then confused because, is it feminist for me to show off my body or is it not? Like, her weighing, it's a book of her reflecting and processing, like, you know.
And I don't think, and what I kind of enjoyed about it is, life does not have black and white or clear answers. I think that's something that I felt like it was a really good book for the times too, just in general, because I feel like so often in the past couple of years, we've been trying to tie everything up in a bow if we can and be like, yes, and this is the right way to do things. Mm-hmm. This is the wrong way to do things. And like, life's just not like that. And that's what I enjoyed about her book, is she was like, I don't know what's right or wrong. Like, I don't, and there is no clear answer of how I should exist in this mm-hmm. world with my body.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I appreciated that about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, no, I did too. I'm excited to finish reading it. I ended up blazing through it.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where I was like, this is just going to enrage me.
I know.
I felt very judgmental going in.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't like her on Instagram. This is not. In fact, she kind of triggers me when I see her on Instagram yeah. and like gets me in my head yeah. about my body image issues yeah. and I don't like it. And yeah. so I'm like, reading her book is just going to get me really pissed off. And I found myself.
And you're like, oh, she's a person.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe yeah. it's like, oh, she's a person. She's a human being.
She's not just a body.
Then there's been a lot of complexities and there's been a lot of terrible things that have happened.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that was interesting too. Her talking about certain celebrities. I mean, if anything, there's shit with that where you're like.
Well, she talks about Robin Thicke with Blurred Lines, which I'm like, now I need to now look up. I'm like, has there been any fucking repercussions from this?
That's
like, has
he been? I think I was Googling.
I mean, what?
I think he just like didn't respond.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then that other guy. Oh, have you gotten to the one about the guy publishing the book about
her?
Yes,
I have.
Oh my God. Okay. It is.
It's interesting.
It is a good read. Yeah. I think that definitely if you have a. I don't know. Read a review of it. Read a summary of it and see what you think. Okay. Mm. On a lighter note, did you end up talking to your celebrity man?
Well, it doesn't end up being a lighter note because, okay, a few things. Number one, everyone is like begging me to say who the celebrity is.
I know. Someone was like, I imagined it was Rob Lowe. I'm like,
it's not Rob Lowe. I would have been way more devastated because I've always had a crush on Rob Lowe and have been like, oh my God. No. I can't say who it is because I didn't ask this man if I could have this conversation. I would like to get him on the podcast at some point.
Oh, okay.
So if I can get him on the podcast, if I'm able to break down this uncomfortable period,
yes,
then I will have this open conversation and we'll talk about it on the podcast.
Yes, I'd love that.
I don't know if he'll come on, but I did not see him because unfortunately there was a recent loss. A large celebrity who died recently was a very close friend of his. So
that's sad.
He was not. There.
That's sad.
So, yeah.
Well, we're going to have to get him on the pod then. And yeah. I can play therapist between
you guys. You're going to have to. I was processing, by the way, that conversation afterwards. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that this person has this impression of me. And so I started to get in kind of this spiral where I was thinking about not like friends from back in your youth who you've known for forever and not people who, let's just say, know Becca from The Bachelor. So they've seen you on TV before.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, what is your first impression? Like what when someone meets me clean slate as I am now as an adult, what do they think of me?
Man, it's so funny you say that because just the other day I was driving and I was thinking, I really want to know how people would like describe me to other people.
So I had an idea.
Okay,
I'm like, what about you right now? Tell me what you think someone's first impression of you would be.
Of me. Okay.
And then call someone in your phone who maybe you've met recently and ask what their first impression was of you.
That's a good idea. Let me see who I could. Yeah. Yeah, okay, I got to think of someone.
Just a little cold call.
I like this idea.
A little cold call and see what their first impression is.
Oh, this is a good idea. Let's see. Who have I? Yeah, I guess I was thinking of our nanny, but then she's hired by me, so she's kind of
obligated. Yeah, she's gonna give you, she's gonna give you a little bit of a...
Yeah, okay. Are you going to do it too?
I'll do it too, 100%. Okay. 100% I'll do it too.
Well, first let's say what... Let's also say what we think other people, because I guess I didn't meet you that long ago, but I think it would also be interesting to say what we think the other. Okay. Well, I'll say what I think people's impression is of you. And then you say, I know it makes me nervous too. I don't like it. And then we'll say what we think people think of us. But this is a tricky thing about it. like you were saying, on the day you went out, it depends on the day.
Well, that's, yes.
Depends on the outfit. That's, depends on the mood.
That's the thing, too. So this, depends on the vibe. This specific celebrity met me when I was, you know, not about to start my period. Yeah. And I was awkward sauce 5000. So tall, so awkward, and not feeling comfortable in, like, my being.
Right.
But he still, but that's the thing, though.
This is still is you.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
So I was, I've been grinding about it thinking that is me. It's just me on a specific day, but it is me.
Right.
It's just a form of me.
Right.
So I've just been just spinning, thinking about, I have my idea of what I give off. And to know that might be vastly wrong to the outsider throws me off.
Well, and sometimes I, like, Gray has a bunch of employees at the gym, and I get very weird with this kind of thing. Like, they all know who I am, but, mm-hmm. like, we don't really, like, know each other well. And so whenever I was just in the gym yesterday, so, like, I kind of, like, don't, I'm so fucking awkward about some of these situations. Like, I don't really, like, say hi to them. Mm-hmm. But I sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Do you not say hi because you get a little awkward? Like,
yeah, I just, like, don't. I'm like, I don't know. And then if Gray's, like, talking to them or something, I'll just kind of, like, stand there and I'm just silent. And so I'm like, I'm just, like, this weird, quiet girlfriend that doesn't even acknowledge yeah. them. But that's not so not me. But I've also had those experiences before, like, and I'm just terrible.
But I've
at
also
shit.
Seen you like that out before.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Which,
I just, like,
which, by the way, then, as your friend, will throw me off because I'm like, this is a part of you that I don't see often.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, I also used to do it all the time when I was younger. Like, you know, when, like, so for example, let's say I knew someone, like, I went to youth group with someone mm-hmm. and we never hung out in youth group, but, like, I still know, like, that's Kendall and they know, like, that's Becca. And then we would be, like, at an event or something mm-hmm. and I'd see them. I am not one to be like, hey, Kendall, because I'm like, we're not friends. So instead, I'm just kind of like.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like, we both know who the other person is, but, like, I'm not going to say hi. I don't know this person, but I do know who they are. Oh, God. So, I'm horrible with that.
So you're not going to, if like, you've met someone. You're not going to, and you had, let's just say you met someone and you had, like, a 2-minute conversation and then you see them
now
at a party.
I would.
You would, okay.
Now, I probably
now you'd
would.
Go
I'd
up
be
and
like,
be like,
hey,
oh, hey, what's
doing?
Going on? Okay.
Or I would at least acknowledge and be like,
mm-hmm. oh, silent, from across, like, the room. Oh, that, hey, hello.
How uh-huh, you going? Uh-huh, how you doing? Uh-huh. Polite. Because I want to be polite.
Yeah.
You know, when you're, like, a teenager, it's who fucking cares? Just ignore someone. Just, like, pretend you don't know them.
You just silently, you're like, go like, behind
both,
a bush.
We both know, you know? No, now I do out of politeness, but I just don't. Yeah, sometimes I just get in my head about, like, people I don't know very well. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of, like.
Do you get in your head because you just are like, I don't know how to.
I'm, like, making up in my head that there's a certain way I should interact with them or something, but I should just pretend that I should either go one of two ways. I should just either pretend I don't know them and start as a clean slate, or I should pretend that I do know them and just be like, how's it going, bud?
Yeah.
You know, confidently. And sometimes I'm just stuck in the middle and then I'm like, and I short circuit.
I go in way too strong.
Uh-huh. See, this is the other thing. My sister and I were talking about this because mm-hmm. we were talking about, she listened to the episode, actually, and she was like, it hurt my whole body.
It hurt my whole body, honey. It hurt my whole body.
She said when you. Okay, Bronze, by the way, if you haven't, what we're talking about, if you haven't listened to the last episode,
so sorry.
To the last episode.
Overstaying a Celebrity's Welcome and Moldy Burrata.
Yeah, Jess. Oh, yeah, it was like 2 episodes ago. Just had an awkward encounter, so that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
But yeah, she was like, when you said sounds good about him suggesting a prank, sounds good.
Bro, it was the Michael Scott pinnacle of my life. There's a scene in one of the Office episodes where they're in a hotel room and Jim is laughing with his new boss. And Michael Scott says, what are you guys laughing about? And they're like, oh, inside joke. And then Michael says, oh, inside joke. Would love to be a part of one someday.
And they're just like.
And it's the most painful thing you've ever watched. And that was me saying, sounds good, to a guy suggesting we play a prank. And then me awkwardly standing there.
It hurts. It hurts. Now, she brought up something just in general. She's like, I can't do. We were talking about, she goes, is this the same friends where they were roping in this guy when they went out to go on his yacht, you know, yes, all that. So yes. I said, yes, it was. And she goes, oh, man, I wish I could do that. I just can't do that. And I go, me neither. And we were chatting through it. And she goes, I always assume I'm annoying people. And I said, me too. Mm-hmm. I constantly think I'm annoying people. And I get very hyper aware of it with other people. So I'm like, stop, you're bugging. Like if I'm out with them, I get stressed.
Yeah.
I'm like, stop. And you know what? Most of the time, they're probably not bugging someone. Maybe sometimes they are. But that person is obviously, they could excuse themselves from the situation.
They could walk away.
And they're not.
So, I mean, this celebrity in my case couldn't because no, I was in his home. He couldn't walk away. But most of the time you can.
It is, I've realized that that she and I both have like pride to a fault. And that's part of the situation where it's like, I am going to be so prideful that I am just going to not even engage with someone for fear that I might bother them or something. They're really getting my head about that.
I think I am one extreme or the other. Sometimes I go out and I'm like, I am so charming right now.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'm like, I'm the most annoying person on the face of the planet. Most of the time I will say, when I go home that evening on the days that I do feel charming, I get immediately in the Uber and I'm like, I was probably so annoying.
Mm.
So I think I'm annoying most of the time. Mm. The shift for me happened numerous years ago when Evan and I used to play worship together and we would always be in the green room. And so there'd be musicians coming in and out all the time that we like developed a lot of relationships with. And you'd spend hours because we'd be doing a bunch of services. You'd spend hours of your time just sitting in these rooms with each other and you'd talk and you'd really get to know each other and we develop some of our closest friendships. But a lot of the conversation was always everyone critiquing everyone. Like it was just all these musicians talking about how, oh my God, did you see that guy's now getting involved in that music? Did you see how he was posting on Instagram and like the way he was promoting? That was so annoying. That was so annoying. And everyone was so critical of how everyone else was.
Yeah.
And it made me, and I was already really self-conscious, it made me even more hyper aware of like, oh my God,
everyone thinks I'm stupid and annoying.
Everyone thinks I'm so annoying. Yeah. And so then I started to just never express myself in certain ways or post on Instagram in certain ways. Yeah. And then one day I took a risk on Instagram. At this time, I didn't have like barely any followers, but I took a risk on Instagram and I posted something where I was being like silly or stupid. And all of a sudden I got all these messages for the first time from people being like, that was so fun or so funny, or like interacting with me, people I knew, but responding to me.
Yeah.
And then I got one message from someone who meant to send the message to a friend and was like, wow, she's trying so hard, with eye rolls. Uh-huh. And it kind of started to get me thinking where I'm like, that really hurt my feelings. But I got so many other comments. Like, I got way more people interacting with me. And yeah, there's the one person who does think I'm annoying. And you can't please everybody. And people are going to think that you're obnoxious. So I started to process that. And then I started to process the fact that, no shade to these people we were in the green room with, they are wildly talented.
Yeah.
But there were some of them specifically that I was like, these people that you're criticizing are becoming really successful.
Right. They're taking a risk.
They're putting themselves out there.
Yeah.
And we're just sitting in this room being critical of them, not doing jack shit. So I just need to step into being who I am. And number one, for maybe success, but also for enjoyment of life. Like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Like, if everyone's talking about me in a green room somewhere, how annoying and obnoxious I am.
Or a stranger like at a bar who just interacted with you.
It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
So I still have that in my head most of the time. Like, I typically think I'm annoying.
Yeah.
And I was around a lot of people in my life who, like a lot of my friends growing up, definitely validated the feeling that I am too much. Mm-hmm. So it was always like my friends, and even those friends still now, they'll say stuff to me sometimes where they're like, well, you know, Jessica. And yeah, it's like, she's just Jessica. Yeah. And so I would just retreat. Yeah. And now I'm just like, fuck that.
Yeah. I think what I'm scared of, there's the side of me that is, that has that insecurity where it's like, I should say, fuck it. And then there's the other side of me where, and also I don't think, the one thing I will say about you at this person's house, I don't think you were being, I see that as a different separate category than annoying.
Oh no, I wasn't being annoying that night. Yeah, yeah. That night I was being very awkward.
I wanted to clarify that.
I was being very awkward.
So I wanted to clarify that before saying what I'm about to say, which was, sometimes I'm scared though of trapping someone who is annoyed of me or bugged by me because I hate being trapped by someone that I am annoyed by or bugged by.
Understood.
And so that's sometimes a thing where I'm like, there's the one side where I'm like, I should say fuck it. And then the other side where I'm like, oh God, but I don't want to turn someone's night of them like, and then this bitch was, wouldn't stop fucking bothering me and my friends.
You mean when I was following around that one person from the Bachelor franchise the whole night? Yes.
I didn't even think about that.
I would say this. I believe, and I could be very wrong, and I've based a lot of my life off this, so oopsie if I'm wrong. But if you're already aware enough of that you're not going to be the type of person who traps someone.
So here's the thing that then happens, which I've been thinking about this a lot lately for some reason, of how in certain circles, I feel like an outsider. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of put it together right now as we're talking of, I think sometimes I get imposter syndrome. So this has happened since I was a kid, like with like popular groups at school, you know, the cheer team that I was a part of, or, you know, like a youth group or like a leadership group that I was a part of. I have always felt like, or even just now, like being a podcaster or like an Instagram influencer or like a member of Bachelor Nation, for instance, I've always felt like an outsider who's not actually a part of the circle. But I think the reason that is that I get imposter syndrome of like, I'm not on that mm-hmm. level. But then because I have imposter syndrome, then I pull back because I'm nervous mm-hmm. or shy about mm-hmm. being a part of that group. But then because of who I am, I think a lot of people then interpret that as, and I've had people say this before, I think then a lot of people interpret that as me thinking that I'm better than someone, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, I'm too good to be a part of that mm-hmm. circle. Well, sometimes I feel that way in Bachelor Nation, let's be real. But but in other areas of life, I'm half joking with that, because then there's like, there were times. Yeah. So anyway, that's something that I've realized that I've always kind of struggled with, is feeling like I don't fit in. But then also I'm putting myself in a situation and not putting myself out there because of insecurity. So then people assume that I don't actually want to be a part of the circle mm-hmm. or I think I'm too good for the circle or whatever.
Yeah. That was actually something about you that did surprise me, because I didn't realize, I feel like this is the wrong term, but I didn't realize the shyness that you have in certain circumstances, because I would have, if I would be an outsider, I would think, I don't feel like you give off that you're too good for it. Uh-huh. It's just more like, I'd think, oh, Becca's just, it's just not her thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's just busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I wouldn't think like, oh, she would want to be included and she's just feeling kind of shy.
Yeah. No, I want to be included by everyone.
No one's. And then since we started to work together, when you'd be like, oh, like I feel shy about doing that. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know. I think it's so interesting, because I feel like it's just always such a good reminder and perspective that we don't know who people are.
Right.
Right. So it's like, I can look at
you. We're human. Yeah.
I can look at you and be like, well, Becca's super, super confident and she's super busy. And so she is like, I don't fucking want to be part of this. So I'm not going to be going because I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Versus like, oh, maybe she feels a little uncomfortable in the situation and doesn't want to annoy anyone and ask if she can, you know.
Or social anxiety. Like, I've not gone to bachelor events and stuff because I'm just like, oh my God. But then I get rid of this person. Then I'm like, oh, what am I going to say to them? And like, you know.
Yeah.
What is the conversation? How is this small talk conversation going to play out? Am I just going to be standing alone?
Yeah. Which is like oftentimes I would imagine in Bachelor Nation, right? When I feel like when you're seeing like people who become then part of the groups or whatever, even if they just weren't on the show for very long, it's the people who just show up.
Yeah.
And who probably sometimes might be a little annoying at first because they're like, hello, hello. But they just, they show, they show
and
up.
And why not? You should just show up and live your life the way you want to. But yeah, I have so much of it with like, yeah, like Instagram influencer circle for sure, too, where I'm just like, I think that I just, you know what the problem is, too? Sometimes you assume that people know more about you than they really do. And, and then you're like, oh, they probably won't like that. You know, they're not like that. They don't think the way that I think about that. So like they won't like, and it's like, they probably don't fucking know, probably don't watch my fucking stories.
Yeah.
They'd probably be like, oh, hey, girl, nice to meet you. You know, and it's like. I don't know.
In my head, like, it's so interesting.
Okay, broads, quick pause. I need you to repeat after me. Mental health comes first in 2022. You got that? This year is the year we prioritize our mental health over everything else because it really is the nicest thing you can do for you. But look, we get it. Easier said than done. But thanks to Talkspace, putting your mental health first is actually doable.
So Talkspace, it's the online therapy platform. It's changing mental health care services for the better. When you use Talkspace, therapy is on your terms. One of the biggest barriers to people getting the help they need is the fact that you need to have the time to do so. Setting aside the same time every single week, driving to an office, waiting for your appointment, all of that requires lots of free time. And let's be honest, most people just don't have that. But with Talkspace, everything works around your schedule. If you need to have an appointment in the evening or the early morning, you know, like while your kid's asleep, you could do that. If you, you know, are going on vacation, you could still have therapy from your computer, like it's, or your phone. It's awesome. I love Talkspace.
That's right. All you have to do is get on Talkspace so you can begin the process of being matched with your perfect therapist. And trust us, your perfect therapist is on Talkspace. There are thousands of licensed therapists to choose from, specializing in dozens of different areas. No matter what you're going through, there's someone perfectly fit to help. After you find your match, you'll be able to use Talkspace to conveniently send messages 24/7 to your therapist and even schedule video sessions whenever is convenient for you. And what makes Talkspace the best? It's affordable. Okay, 1 month of Talkspace will cost less than a single session of in-person therapy. So what are you waiting for? Start putting yourself first today.
Make your mental health more than just another New Year's resolution with the help of Talkspace. Visit Talkspace.com. You're going to get $100 off your first month when you use promo code CHATTY at sign up. So that's $100 off at Talkspace.com, promo code CHATTY.
So if you have little ones at home, then it has become very apparent that the learning landscape has changed tremendously in the last 2 years. In person, online, hybrid, small classes, bigger classes, changing school staff. There's about 1 million reasons why your kiddo might need some more one-on-one attention or perhaps a totally new learning style right now. If that sounds like you or your family, there's only one place you have to check out, and that's Byju's Future School.
Yeah, so Byju's Future School is all about getting your child the attention they need by providing small group and one-on-one learning while also focusing on getting kids to learn actively through each subject. And because the curriculum at Byju's Future School is activity-based, kids can stay much more engaged and they can develop a lifelong love of learning, which is pretty much every parent's dream. And I just love that all of that is their focus.
The classes that Byju's Future School offers are so cool. And honestly, I am kind of jealous. I didn't have this when I was a kid. Okay, they have these coding classes that explore the fundamentals of coding through kids' favorite games, like Roblox and Minecraft. It's so cool. And of course, there's also traditional classes too, like math for grades 1 through 8, and many more subjects launching soon. Byju's is just perfect if you have a kiddo who might need some more one-on-one time learning a specific subject. Byju's is perfect. Or if your kiddo excels at something and wants to really hone in on that, this is a great option too.
Join the millions of parents accelerating their kids' learning today. And right now, Byju's Future School is offering our listeners their first class free. Just go to BYJUS.com/podcast to sign up for your first class absolutely free so you can check it out. That's BYJUS.com/podcast.
So interesting.
What do you think people think would, let's give a specific scenario, because like we said, it's so different. Let's say that right now, the outfit you're in, you went to pick up Amber and you meet someone in the pickup line, likely this, which we brought up before, and you guys are chatting before picking up your kid. What do you think would be the impression they would get of you?
Okay. What I think of myself as in that scenario is I think people think I'm friendly, but a little squirrely.
Mm.
I don't know what's a better word to say. Like
high strung,
a little high strung, but not in a
frenetic way.
Yes. In a way that I'm a little, my eyes are a little darty and I'm a little bouncy because that's how I think I come off when I first meet someone.
Caffeinated.
Yes, exactly. Lots of espresso
right,
beans.
Right.
Because when I first meet someone, that my nervous energy comes right. out. And my nervous energy comes out in me talking a lot.
Right.
Explaining too much.
Right.
Always. Right. So I think when someone meets me, depending on who it is, let's just say I'm in the pickup line, I would think that someone's first impression is either, oh, she's so nice and she's easy to talk to. Or, okay, she's a lot and I don't know why she just told me that. That's kind of how I feel. But then there's also certain days where I am a full-blown hood on.
Yeah, and you're like, don't talk to anybody. Talk to me. Yeah,
yeah.
I won't.
I can be very, like, reclusive.
Yeah.
But if someone engages me, I will engage with someone. So I'm not going to go out of my way to necessarily be going up to people. In general, I probably keep to myself more. But if you engage with me, I think that would be my opinion, or that would be the impression that I would give off.
I think that most people would say when they meet you that you're friendly and bubbly, even if they are like just talking to you when you're reclusive. I think that the only people that'd be annoyed with you, I'm not just being nice, I think the only people that would be annoyed with you is if they're like insecure and they want to be like that. Like,
do you know, that's very kind of you. Do you know who I bother?
Who?
This isn't a specific person, but a group of individuals. Oh. I bother, or I shouldn't say bother, I am not liked by indie girls.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because I don't.
What kind of indie girl?
I should say indie girl. When I think indie girl, I'm thinking very like a very specific like Silver Lake
okay.
type of girl who's really cool.
Okay.
Because I don't have the thing in me to put on that cool.
Well, they're insecure. That's why they're doing that. Exterior. And they're annoyed by you because they wish, literally what I just said, they're annoyed by you because they wish they were as confident as you. I'm sorry. People to me who put on the like, can't be bothered, like you're insecure as fuck. Sorry, that's what I think.
Well,
be fucking nice to people and stop acting like you're just above everyone around
that makes you. Nice. All right, what do you think? You're looking real glam today, so I don't feel like if I were to say this, I'm like in my sweatshirt, whatever. But okay, if you're going, if you right now show up at a park with the kids. And you, then there's like a mom there, whoever. What impression do you think you give?
Now, I think part of the problem again is that I tend to overanalyze. Like, I'm like, what kind of person is this person? Not in a way of judging them, but of like, what aspect of me should I put forward if I want to vibe with this person, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes I can be like, home birth mom mentioned something about breastfeeding and we're going to click, you know, it's like that's sometimes. And then they're like, oh, my God. Yeah. When I had my natural water breath at home with, you know, Xavier, it was, you know, whatever. And then we're vibing, you know, so it's like sometimes you can kind of do that.
Right. You can pick up on what they're putting out
yeah,
there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of which, after we talk about this, I have a story about the fucking park that I wanted to tell today. Because I'll tell you, the vibe I was giving off was weird. So we'll get into that. But I don't know. I really don't know. I think that I mean, these are such generic terms too. And when someone first meets you, a little different than like someone maybe spending a dinner with you or something like that. Because it's like friendly, you know, like the generic terms. He's like friendly, bright, talkative. You know, it's like what are these terms? You know?
Yeah. No, I hear you.
So you know what would be a better question to call someone? Ask what were they wrong about you? The impression that they had.
I think the double question though, okay. Because too, if you met, like, let's just say you call Kendall. That's a very specific circumstance, right?
Kendall, and you're
like,
who?
Oh, from Kendall, the Bachelor. Like when you first met me.
There's a time in your life too where things are just like different. Like that time in my life, I was like very confident making friends.
Because I was going to say, when I met you, my first impression of you, I said this before, was like fairy. Huh. We were at the house party and you knew numerous people and you were just floating around the room. And I was just like, she talks with her hands and she's talking to people. And you were like, you own the room.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was on top of the world at that point.
You own the room. You own the room.
It's like, honey, I'm a reality TV star, bitch. I'm at the peak.
But if I didn't know like more intimate things about you as your friend, even now, if I were to meet you, I'd be like very confident. It was like, because regardless, I feel like when you meet someone, whether you're super talkative or more reserved, there is an energy. You give off the same energy to me. It's different, but it's the same type of confident energy as
like Michelle Obama.
Exactly. You guys are it's absolute twins.
Yeah, yeah.
No difference. Yeah. No, but how I feel about when I'm out with Evan.
Oh.
Where Evan does not feel confident. When he's walking into a room and he knows and like he doesn't know anybody there, he's been spiraling the entire drive. What if I show up early? What am I going to say to these people? And he's tripping out. But the way that there's an energy when he walks in the room that people immediately always assume Evan is very confident and like in control. And doesn't feel that way. Yeah. I feel like you have a similar thing where I'm like, if I didn't know you at all, I'd be like, you walk in and Becca's like, I'm the president of this room, but not in an annoying way. No, but not in a way where you're like,
yeah, yeah,
I'm so confident, but just, it's just an energy.
I am okay. I'm good here.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's this Aquarian energy that you both are putting off.
Maybe it is. but yeah, I would be interested to know, like, to get more specific, because it is kind of hard to ask someone what sometimes it's hard to remember too. I would be interested in asking someone like about you or about me, what were you right about with your impression about me, and like what's something that you were wrong about with your impression of me.
I like that.
Okay, I'm gonna text someone and ask them if I can call them real quick. Do you have an idea of who you are?
I had an idea. I think I'm going to because I was trying to think of a person who met me completely organically.
Okay.
And probably about 3 years ago. 3-4 years ago, I met my friend Abby. I was at the Comedy Store. We were literally on the patio and we just struck up a conversation. He like came up to me and said that he liked a tattoo of mine.
Uh-huh.
And we just struck up a conversation completely organically. I knew nothing about him. He knew nothing about me. And now we're friends and I've known him now for years. But I'm like, I feel like that's a good one because we met out of nowhere and we knew nothing about each other.
Okay. But that's not that recent.
I know, but I'm like, I haven't been going out
too much the past two years.
No new friends.
Okay, that's good. Okay, a neighbor who I met in like the past 6 months.
Oh,
I
that's
just texted
good.
Her to ask her if I could ask.
That's good.
If I could call her. But yeah, that's good.
Okay. Should I call Abby right now?
Yeah. Do you want to text him and give him a heads up or no?
No, just gonna I'm just going to call him. We'll see if he picks up. If not, I'll figure out someone else.
Okay. You know who we could also call? How long have you known Liz?
I've known Liz for probably about 4 years, too.
Yeah, but still might be. She's kind of a fun
one. She's a fun one. She knows both of us. We could ask Liz about her first impression of both of us. Yeah. Liz is a character.
Yeah. She'll talk. Talk about talking.
Let's see. We always FaceTime, but I'm going to. You better pick up or else we are no longer friends. words. What are you working?
Yo.
Hi, Abby.
How are you?
I'm good. Okay, so you're on the podcast right
We're
now.
We're live.
We're live. Is that okay?
Nice. What's up, broadsters?
I mean, it's broads, but you
broad
know,
squad.
Broad squad. Oh, we're broad, okay.
Yeah, broads also works. Yeah, that's sexy.
Do you have a minute?
Of course.
Okay.
Do you have like 30 to 40 minutes?
Do you have about an hour and a half? No. Okay. So we were talking on the podcast about first impressions and curious about what someone's like kind of organic first impression of us is. So I thought of you right away. I'm like, okay, you and I met very like organically on the patio at the Comedy Store. Yeah. And I would like to know what your first impression was of me.
Yeah. And then I also want to know what was a first impression that you were right about? And then what was a first impression that you were wrong about?
Okay. Good question. Mm-hmm. First impression of Jess was like, I mean, we immediately hit it off.
It's true.
I was just like, it's very rare that like I meet someone and within like 2 minutes, I was just like, hey, can we be friends? Like I was a little
That's
kid.
That's so cute.
That's so nice. And you know, I felt like, the same way.
I pointed out her neck tattoo and I was like, I got a cool neck tattoo. And I just felt like a very like warm, cool vibe. I'm like, you're my friend now.
Aww.
I'm like, at first it was just vanity. I'm like, I just need more cool looking friends.
Yeah. For my entourage.
I was like, I need like, and then, you know, immediately I was just like, oh, you're the sweetest.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So something you were right about, something you're wrong about. You're wrong about her being sweet, right?
I'm an absolute bitch, right?
Yeah. I was wrong about her being sweet and wrong about her being cool. I was totally wrong. Yeah. I don't know. I was right about all my assumptions, I think.
Really?
No, actually, you know what? I actually didn't know how nice you were at first. I thought you might be mean because you had like all these tattoos and a leather jacket and stuff. Like, well, maybe she like isn't friendly, but okay. I was pretty. And then I was also like, hey, mate. I was also when people are nice right away, very often they're fake. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, okay. Right, right.
Like any friendship that isn't earned very often, like when like I know a lot of girls in LA that have new best friends every week.
Yep.
And so I was like, oh, maybe like she's insincere, but here we are all these years later.
Aww.
Still Abby. The one.
Still the one. So I was wrong about that.
Well, okay. I appreciate that. There was nothing juicy so warm. About that. So I know. You did not do me dirty, Abby. I appreciate that. Oh, question for you. When you first met me, did I seem hyper to you? Like, was I talking in like a squirrely hyper way? Because that's always how I feel like I come off. Really?
No, I don't think so either.
Really? I
did
always
not seem hyper.
I always feel like I'm jittery and bouncing all over the place in like a wow, that's a little too much type energy.
I could see that, but in this particular incident, I don't think so.
All right, well, I'm glad to know that I seemed cool and sweet.
Well, you called the right person.
I did call the right person. I love you, Abby. Do you have any dates coming up that we can shout out while you're on the phone? Abby is an amazing comedian.
Oh, yes. I'll be in February 3rd. I will be with Hannah Berner in San Diego. And then I'll be at I just announced on my Instagram, I'll be at Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin sometime in April. I don't remember the exact
fun.
Dates.
Damn. All right. I'll put that in the episode notes. And I might pop by that San Diego show.
Yeah, come through. That'll be fun.
All right. I love you. Thank you.
You too. Bye, girls.
Bye.
Oh, that's the night of our virtual iHeart Awards.
Oh.
You know, have we talked about this in the podcast?
No.
I'm ready to slaughter.
Broads, the award. We've told you that we got the iHeart nominations for two different nominations. We were so excited. It was going to be our first red carpet moment together. And it has now gone virtual. They delayed it to February and it has now gone virtual. So we are not going to have our moment. So I don't even know. I'm like, do we get, you know, outfits and dress up in our homes pathetically?
I don't know, but I'm lit up.
Maybe I'll have the no makeup sweats look like absolute garbage. Zoom in.
I know. I thought like, oh my God, should we like do a red carpet thing? But I have a lot going on that day.
You're like, I'm busy now. Thanks. We do really appreciate the nomination. So thank you so much. We really wanted to go. We were so excited. I wanted to see Conan. I wanted the stories.
Jason Sudeikis might have been there.
Don't even joke about that.
Don't even joke.
Becca, what if that was like my night to have met him and our fates just. I'm going to have to figure out another way to.
No one's texting me back. Who should I call?
Yeah, just cold call. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, because see, that makes me.
Because people also then get anxious. Like, why is she calling me? So then they pick up. You know what I mean?
Here's a hard thing, too. Now, what I will say about you calling Abby is, like you said, you guys clicked right away. So, like, another person that came to mind was Kaylee, who we've had on the pod. But Kaylee and I got on the phone and we just, like, clicked right away. I'm kind of interested in, I'm trying to find someone who, like, maybe
I thought of him because I'm like, I don't typically exchange numbers with people. So I'm like, whose number do I have who met me organically?
Yeah.
Exchange numbers with him after a few times of hanging out because we bonded quickly.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait. Danny, my neighbor, just texted back and said, yes, LOL. Okay.
Yes. Okay. We love a cold call. Make sure you tell her she's on the podcast.
Hey.
Hi. I already did in the text. Okay. You are live on the podcast. Hello. No pressure.
Okay.
With Jess and I. Okay, this is my neighbor, Danny.
Hi, Danny.
Okay, so Danny and I met not that long ago, right? Past 6 months? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so we've been talking about, we're like, what are people's first impressions of us? And like, you know, how does that compare with how we see ourselves? All of that. So I was like, okay, Danny's someone I've met recently. What was your kind of first impression? And I want to know, what was something that you were right about and what was something that you were wrong about?
Okay, well, I was gonna text you like a disclaimer that like my perspective might be weird.
Good.
Weirder
the better.
I've told you before, like, I mean, the first thing I noticed that you had hairy legs and I was like, I'm gonna be friends with this. Like, that was my like signifier of like, I can deal with, you know, this person.
Yes.
You know, I thought you were so like beautiful and you were in your like little like, I don't know, you always like when you're walking around the neighborhood, you wear these like cute like thrift store looking type of outfits and somehow they look so adorable. Glam. And your hair was up in a messy bun and it was like, this,
yes,
who is this like adorable human being with like hairy legs and no shoes walking around the neighborhood.
Oh, you're making me sound so romantic.
I know, this is a novel. Oh my God.
It totally was. I don't know, I think you just seemed really outgoing and friendly and your kids are obviously adorable. I don't think I had any bad impressions of you.
Okay, did you have any wrong ones, though? Yeah.
The only thing, at first, I'll tell you straight, and I've never told you this, but you were talking about, like, some story that you told on the podcast. I love that you were so open with me about it and just, like, forthcoming about, like, this is this crazy vulnerable thing that like I experienced. And like from there, I felt like I can just always express anything to you and you're not going to be judgmental.
Oh,
you know,
that's
even
cool.
If it's like really vulnerable or like maybe like not something that everybody can digest. Let's see. Was there anything I was wrong about? I don't know. I don't really think so. I kind of stay curious. So I don't know. And I think you're a really easy to digest person personally. So I don't think there was anything that I was like, I made a judgment but I'm also not a very judgmental person either. So I was pretty much team Becca from the moment we met.
Yes, I called the right person too. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. This is definitely going on the pod.
Awesome. Well,
thanks.
Enjoy, have fun.
Okay, see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Okay.
See, that was nice.
See, Let's break this down.
Okay.
We both talked about how we were insecure about certain things about us. And now, both of those people did not think that at all.
True.
Now, granted, again, we could have called the right people.
Yeah.
But it's an encouraging thing to think about. That
now, these are also people we're still friends with. That's the other thing.
True, we could call enemies.
I don't have their numbers. Just calling random bachelor people.
I'm like, anyone that I've had beef with, the problem with that is anyone that I, in my life that I've had beef with is someone
is jealous.
They're only jealous. That's it. No, yeah. Anyone I've had beef with, it's only people that I had known for like a really long time. And then after knowing me for a while, had issues with certain things and ways that I was, and then we would fight. So it's not like this first impression, like I did not enjoy
right.
you.
Right. Right.
But I feel like it's a good reminder in general. Those things that we're really in our head about and we think we come off a certain way, like that's not necessarily how at least everyone views us. That's for sure. Yeah.
I also think you can create a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like yes. a lot of times if I get in my head, then I'll start saying dumb shit. And then I'm like, wow, now I really am being annoying.
I feel like the thing that is always so like the best thing you can do in those situations, and if someone has a problem with it, they can go fuck off.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
Is to acknowledge the awkwardness of it. Right. Yeah. So
yes.
if you say something and you're like, why did that just come out? I think so the best like, thing you'd be is like, I don't know why I just said that. I am so sorry. I feel so
uncomfortable.
I feel so uncomfortable right now. Like the last time that I was out.
Yeah. That's
not with thing. Not with the celebrity. By the way, I did not take my own advice on that one. But I was out with some people.
You were just choking at that point. You know,
it's like I was drowning.
Yeah,
There's
no going back.
I was in too deep. You know what? I'm gonna blame the Red Bull. Okay,
that will do it.
I was just not in my own being. It was the period and the Red Bull. The combo, not good.
Yes,
viscous.
A downer and an upper. You know,
it's too much. But I was out with some people somewhat recently. And I just was not in my flow. And I was just talking to this random couple who I had literally met moments ago. And I was just like, hey, I feel like I'm acting so strange right now. I'm so sorry. I feel like I've been a little off recently. I don't know if it's because of the pandemic. And so when I go out socially, I get so excited to interact with people that I kind of just stumble on my words. I'm out of practice. And putting that out there made me feel so much better. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh my God, we feel that way right now too. And we kind of then had this bonding conversation. And then it takes the power away from it by just acknowledging that you're uncomfortable. Because often the other person feels uncomfortable in some way too.
Definitely. I think it's much better to just name it and like be forthcoming.
Yeah.
Liz also just texted and said, hi, I'm driving, but yes, try me.
Let's try Liz.
It'll be fun.
Liz is a mutual friend of ours. Yeah. She was on like the third episode of our podcast.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. When we were talking about girlfriends, that's also was hard. You know, that's a dynamic that definitely comes into play. I feel, you know, with straight men, I'm like, they love me, so I'm fine here.
They adore me. They worship the ground I walk on.
Yeah, well, actually, my sister brought up something which I feel too. She's like older, wealthier men. She's like, I do worry about like bugging them. And I'm like, oh, I actually feel the same way. Or like celebrities, like any mm-hmm. man who's not a common man.
See, and what's funny is the celebrities make me a little nervous.
Yeah.
The older men, I feel that way about guys my own age. I feel like I'm bugging guys my own age. Yeah. The older guys.
Oh, younger men? I think I'm just like, wow, they probably hate me.
The younger guys, it's the exact age for me. I'm like, I feel like I'm bugging you. You'd rather be talking to some younger bitch. And here I am. But the older guys, you know, I'm like, well, hello, sir. Like, I don't feel like I'm bothering them at all.
My sister was like, she's like, I feel like I'm just like a high school twerp, just like following them along, like someone's little sister. And then she was like talking to someone else about it. And they were like, no, like, oh, she was like reading a forum or something. And these older people were like, I am so flattered if some beautiful young woman's talking to me. Oh,
that's what I'm saying. When you go up and you see like a, you know, a daddy, it's a mm-hmm. little bit like, oh, you're about to give them the time, like the conversation of their
the
life.
Ride of, yeah, you're about to the ride of their life. Okay, let's call Liz. Why can't people pick up on the first ring?
I always pick up on the first ring. I never pick up. I've never picked up my
You're
phone.
Like, ooh, voicemail. Like,
yikes.
Hello.
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 Liz.
Hi.
Okay. So here's what we're doing. We're calling people because we're talking about what we think people's first impressions of us are. And so, granted, we are calling people that we're friends with, so that it's got to be somewhat positive.
Positive. Oh, damn. Okay, I'll save all the negativity.
No, actually. Okay. No, here. Actually, here's what I've been asking. You could say some stuff about your first impressions of each of us that were right and anything about your first impressions of us that were wrong. Think about it.
Oh, okay.
Think about it.
Liz, your voice is so hot on the phone.
Yeah, so raspy and cute.
As soon as I got your text, I just sort of did a vocal warm up. Had everyone on the air.
Had a little warm milk and honey or whatever people do. I don't know.
Okay, so wait. God, I don't know. I hate to say it, but I don't know if I was wrong. Oh, I think maybe I think, okay. With Jess, so when I first met Jess, we met that night with DeFlorio, right?
Uh-huh.
We were out. Okay.
Yeah, so you kissed me.
What'd you say?
She said, you kissed me.
I remember getting there and you were with like just a huge group of guys. And I was like, Jesus, who is this bitch that just hangs with the guys? Like, who the fuck does she think she is? And I got there and you were so cool and so smooth and like swaggy. And I just, this is a really funny thing to remember, but I remember that your nails, and your rings looked really, really rad. You had this like lightning blue nail polish and you had like rings on every finger and your outfit was fire. And I was like, damn it. Like, I kept trying to find something to, like, not like about you. I was like, God damn it. She's cool. She hangs with the guys. And then I found out you were married, and I was like, oh, she's probably, like, not as, like wild and fun as, like, she was that night. I was like, that's probably just, like, a one-off thing. And then, so obviously, we kissed.
It was a great kiss.
So I think what was right is that I knew you were really cool. You were a great hang and keep it like super chill. But then I definitely did not realize you were going to be as like down for an adventure and available and wild and free as you actually are. Because like later on, come to discover, you're like the leader of the pack of planning all the crazy nights out. And I never expected like my one married friend that's also a mother to be that like energetic and crazy too when we go out.
So yes. That was good.
That was wonderful. You always stroke my ego, my love.
You know we love to see it. Becca, so you came to my house, but we didn't really...
We played like a board game that night though, remember?
Oh yeah. I fucking hate board games.
It's okay, my girl.
Wait, I don't base it off that night because I didn't really form that. There was like too many people there. At Rob's was when it clicked for me. I was like... You showed up and I think it was like Labor Day. And so we immediately jump in the pool. Then we start just like slandering and belittling Nick. So he took a hike up to the mountain to pout.
We literally hurt his feelings so bad that he had to like take a walk to like breathe and cry. And we thought it was so funny.
Yeah. He had to take
evil.
A walk out. It was actually really sad. But I was like, oh my God. Like, and I thought it was impressive that you were being that ruthless with somebody that you love that much. And I was like, I won in this club. But then I felt really guilty, but that was my anxiety later on. But the moment I knew that you were fucking amazing is when we were back in Rob's house. She passed out because she had been like day drinking and in the pool and whatever. So like somewhere around 6 or 7, she just passes out on Rob's bed. Mind you, she just met him that day. And we're all back in his house hanging, and it's like a studio apartment, so we can see her just napping in her chair. And we're like, I guess Becca feels really comfortable with you. Like, so we have a full night. We like order food. We hang for like a couple more hours. It's just me, Barlow, and Rob. And then all of a sudden, Tyler and Kim show up to like stop by and say hi to Rob. They probably got a text from Rob that's like, dude, there's this hot girl passed out. So then Tyler and Kim V roll up, and as soon as they walk in, Becca wakes up. She, without flinching, gets up, walks to the sink, finds herself some water, and walks in, and they're like, okay, we should be going. And she's like, oh God, leaving so soon? Like, what can I get you guys? And she starts like acting like she's hosting them. And I'm like, who is this bitch? And I said to Barlow that night on the way home, I was like, I honestly, I'm not saying this to be dramatic, but I think he's like one of the coolest people we'll ever know. Like, she has to move into our house.
Oh, wow. That's so nice.
Oh, my God.
Little did I know later on we were going to, like, go to war with each other. Remember that night we got in the fight?
I don't even remember. Nope, don't remember that. I'm not joking. I don't remember that.
Oh, man. But that night, that was
You're like, nope.
That was, I would say, like, my first real, like, kind of taking it in of, like, the essence of who you were. Because the night at my house, there was too many people. I think I was in host mode.
Oh, wow. That was great. So good. We knew you were going to be a brilliant call.
I know. You've really excelled per everything in your life.
Hi, Mom. Yes.
Okay, we love you, Liz. Bye.
Love you a little bit. See, okay, well, first of all, Liz never fails. She never fails to just shoot it how it is. But again.
Okay, yeah.
This is another call. Granted, a friend of ours.
Granted, we were vibing, yeah.
But also someone who is very blunt. Like, yeah, she would tell us if she was like, I hated you. Yeah. Like, she would tell
definitely,
us.
Definitely. I guess, you know, I forgot that I had a brief falling out with her. Do you ever block? Like, I have a very good memory, but do you ever just, like, block out certain things? Mm-hmm. Just, you're like, I just don't really remember that.
What's been a recent problem for me is that I have been having such vivid dreams that I am not distinguishing them from reality.
Oh, my God.
In like a problem way where, like, in basic things, like something stupid where you and I had a call with one of our agencies and I had it in my dream and I fully forgot that we didn't have it. And I was like, no, we talked about that. It's all mixed. But yes, blocking out.
Like, I know we had some sort of falling out at some point. I actually just forgot until she brought it up. There are feuds from junior high that I could remember in detail.
But in recent ones.
That were, well, and I could remember recent ones too, but this one in particular, for some reason, no recollection. I know, I guess it sort of happened. I'm remembering it now that she said it.
I remember it, you guys, it happening.
But I didn't remember, I couldn't tell you the details.
But I wasn't close with either of you at the time.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know, but I remember it was just kind of a brief, it was like a one night situation where you guys got into it or something. No,
there was
like
some text back and forth. Couldn't tell you anything about it. Don't remember.
I'm literally alive, though, thinking about you passing out on a couch and two men walking in and you just met the guy who owns the house and you pop up and you're like, how can I take care of you? Like, leaving so soon.
And you know what? The next day, I ended up spending the night at the house. And the next day, I remember I slept in. We didn't have sex or anything. I just passed out because I'd been drinking. Naturally, you know, I'm like, this is my, I will
this
be sleeping
was, this
here.
This was single Becca, pre-children, you know.
I will be sleeping here. Uh-huh. And I remember I thought I was so cool because I like cleaned the entire house. I love cleaning other people's houses if I stay at their house.
Really?
I don't know why. And I don't want to insult people. Like sometimes if I'll go over to like a friend's house, I don't want to like insult them, but like I love to like start cleaning up their kitchen or like tidying their things.
I don't hate that at all. I would never be insulted.
Yeah. Your kitchen's clean though. But you know, it's like if I'm chatting with a friend and like, especially if they have like little kids or something, you know, I'm like, oh, I'll just start doing this.
Would you rather talk and move?
Oh, definitely. Is that why? Yeah. But also if I'm alone, I'm like, ooh, like they'll be so happy if they come home and like their house is perfectly clean.
That's such a nice quality. I would live for that. If I slept with someone, by the way, if I had hooked up with someone and I had to leave to go to work and I came home and my whole house was clean.
Yeah, it's also better if you didn't sleep with someone like in that scenario. And then you're like, this bitch slept at my house. And then, oh, thank you for cleaning my house.
Appreciate that, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I'm a notorious party sleeper.
Yes, I have seen that happen before.
When you
and I,
me?
Yeah, when you and I first met, a couple times we'd be hanging out. You do sleep, which is funny because Liz does the exact same thing. That's probably why she really noted that about you. Because I admire it so much when I see someone just be able to like walk into someone's house, take a quick nap, and then
I can't,
be like good to go.
I can't help it. And what she didn't mention is that the funniest part about these guys getting there is 20 minutes before they have videos of them with cymbals. Crashing cymbals by my head.
Musicians.
And like banging literally crashing cymbals, and I'm just dead out, and then I just like ding, popped up. But I remember one time I was in San Francisco at this house party, and it was like one of those strange three-story houses. There are like 12 people live in it, you know, 12 20 something year olds live there. I didn't know really anyone there. I was there with like my boyfriend and his friend who lived in San Francisco, and I remember being drunk and I found a little closet with a beanbag, and I just went in there and I just shut the door and curled up in my beanbag and fell asleep for about 2 hours. And they were panicking, being like, we lost her, you know, and I was just like, I'm good. Just taking a little nap in the closet on my beanbag chair.
And you're good.
They were so pissed at me.
But then you're able to like, then you wake up and you feel refreshed.
Yeah.
See, I envy that. You are not leaving the party. You are not leaving the party.
You do
You're just taking
out.
A little nap. No, you I know, but I like the fact that you don't leave. Because ass would be like, all right, I got to go home and take a nap. And maybe I'll call you all later. And then I would never call. You all don't leave the party. You're like, I'm taking a nap. And then I'm here when I wake up.
One of my favorite things to do just in life. And I still love it. I just don't get the opportunity to do it. I love an impromptu sleepover. Like, I love sleeping on someone's couch, a stranger's couch, even better. I love
a stranger's couch, a stranger's toothbrush, even better.
I love the adventure of it all, of like waking up the next morning and be like, oh, damn, like, I'm in this fucking house and this is, you know.
There is nothing better than waking up and not having like a specific time when you need to wake up and then heading to like a brunch.
Oh,
after.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm so hungover. Let's go get some like the bacon and eggs that I'm going to throw up in 4 hours.
Yeah. And then maybe we'll do something again tonight, or like we'll be all cozy on the couch all day watching a ton of shitty reality TV together and bonding. Oh, it makes my heart hurt.
You're not bad at rallying, are you?
Rallying? No, I can't.
Night two? You can be the night two girl.
I push the night two. What happens is once I'm on a roll, I'm like, we can't let this energy die. Like, then I start to become a little obnoxious because I enforce.
Like, girls.
I enforce the night
two. Get your heels on. Get your Red Bulls and your espresso martinis.
This is the issue. We are going away for Becca's birthday and I am so excited. And you will experience the night two rally because everyone's in want to get sleepy and mama's in a roll. And it's like, and then sometimes the people hate me.
But you know what? You're with a company of lots of fellow moms.
And they can rally. The moms are can like, rally. They're like, this is my time to shine and live. It's you're finally out. You're breaking free. Moms are the wildest. Make no mistake. Moms are the wildest.
This is the thing. Like,
when there's no responsibility. Right,
exactly. When you are like removed for the weekend.
Yes.
You're like, bitch, no one's waking me up at 6 a.m.
No. When you know your child is safe with your partner or a grandparent or whoever.
And you're gone.
And you're fully off the grid. There is no. Let me tell you something. Mm. When I go and I'll go away for like 2 days, Evan knows that I will not call him. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't do it.
You're out.
I'm like, I'm out. Like, unless, you know, Ember's like, I want to talk to him. She normally gets more emotional if she sees me. So that's how that kind of started. But I'm not even talking about the Ember piece. I'm talking about my husband. I'm like, do not call me unless I call you.
Do not disturb, honey.
Do not disturb me. I'm like, when you're gone, I won't call you. Yeah. If you want to call me, you can call me. But don't, unless the one who is gone initiates, do not disturb this. I'm actually going to spend 3 nights at a little staycation at the top of this week into our night out because I was like, you know what? When the broads suggested trying new things, they were like, go on a solo vacation. I'm like, I can't do that right now because of the times.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but I'm going to get a hotel room.
Just yourself.
Uh-huh.
Do you think you'll get bored?
Oh, for sure. People expect late night
three
calls.
3 nights?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm just gonna like try to be creative and work, but then also
do a little spa, a little.
Please know that as soon as evening hits, I will be like, "What's everybody doing?" Like, you know, I got free nights, so I can rally for 3 nights in a row. So I'm expecting that to happen. But oh, those are good times. I also had this thought.
What?
I don't know why these connect in my brain, but maybe thinking of like meeting someone when you're single for the first time or whatever. Do you feel this way? Because I feel this wholeheartedly.
Mm.
Nothing resonates and stays with me more than a very specific compliment that's like small. So,
oh yeah.
Right? Okay, so for example,
it's someone noticing you. Like it's someone noticing you and like seeing you beyond like the generic stuff. And so you're it means they're paying attention to you. So that means a lot.
Yeah. So like if I'm sitting with someone and they go, "Oh my god, you're so hot." Versus like, "I love your neck. You have a beautiful neck."
Okay, you're talking about with a
lover,
a romantic a lover.
Yes, that to me, but also, but that goes beyond.
That's true. I had a boyfriend who I remember him being like, "You have like the sexiest back."
And that sticks, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, I won't forget that. I'm like, looking in the mirror.
And would you rather have him say that you have a very sexy back versus, like, you look so hot?
Yeah. It's a dime a dozen, honey.
That is, and friend compliments, though, too. Like, for example, getting off the phone with Liz. Liz, one of the things, her compliments, I thought of the neck, because she'll always be like, I love your neck. Mm. And I'm like, that makes me feel so beautiful.
Mm.
Versus if we're going out one night and she sees me and she goes, girl, you look hot, versus like,
right,
honey, like, your neck, you're just, it's just yeah, elegant right yeah now. Yeah. I'm like, oh my
who
god,
are you Cleopatra?
Yeah, you're like, oh my god, yeah, thank yeah, you yeah so much. Yeah. But with lovers too, I had an ex who, when we first started dating, when he'd be like holding my hand when we were talking, he would always talk about this little freckle that I have on the corner of my hand. Mm-hmm. And he'd be like, that's, I don't know what it is. He's like, this is just like so hot. Like there's just, and he was obsessed. And it's so weird. It's a fucking freckle. And I think about it all the time. Whenever I'm feeling I'm feeling glum, I'll look at it and I'll be like, it's kind of hot, that freckle. And I'll feel better about myself. That little compliment about a fucking freckle on the corner of my hand.
Wow, he must have been enamored with you.
But that's what it right, feels like. Right, and right, I think that's why it's the specific right thing where you're like, you're so obsessed with me that you're noticing like the whites of my eyes.
Yeah.
You know, or the slope of my nose.
For me, like the really big one with anyone, lover or not, is when someone just like takes note of a trait or something. Like my therapist will like compliment me on something. And I'm like, Diane, like you see me, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh.
That I feel like that means
like
so much
a
to me.
Specific trait.
Yeah, she'd be like, oh, I've noticed you're so this or that. And I'm like, mother.
Is that you, mother? But I feel like that's a good tip off of first impressions, right? You know, maybe don't come out, you know, boiling out of the gate and just complimenting someone's random freckle. But like, I feel like that's a good tip if you're interested in someone. Romantically, or even just getting to know someone, try a specific compliment.
Yeah, or even if you're just trying to be nice, like, and because of course the flip side of it is true. When someone says something very specific about your body or about your personality that is specific, that is negative, and they thought about it,
it will forever stay.
Yeah, whether it's online or, you know, in persons, like that stuff will really, yep, really stick with you. But like, I read a YouTube comment recently where it was like, oh, you know, I've noticed like Becca said she would work on this. And like, I can really tell that like she's made a lot of progress with that, you know, and like that's that kind of so comment nice is like, oh, that yeah makes you feel so good and it's so encouraging. And so like, I feel like that's a great example of someone like noticing and just like being kind.
Yes.
Being like,
yes. And yeah, I love the specificity of yeah it. I love that it's like you said, not just a generic, oh, you're so nice, or yeah, you're so beautiful, or you're so hot. I mean, whatever. But yeah, having that little specific moment, because I feel like, yeah, those are the things that will at least help me push through a certain like bad day, whether I'm feeling shitty about myself. And I remember someone saying specifically about how I made them laugh in a certain way. And I'm like, that sticks with me. And I feel funny now. I feel funny today. And I'm going to hold on to that.
Yeah.
Or if it's the freckle on my hand,
yeah,
and I'll
yeah
just stare at it and yeah feel hotter.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, look at me.
I'm just like, oh my God, this freckle.
Okay. Next on Thursday, I'm going to tell my story about the park.
Yes. I was going to say, oh my God. Okay.
No, I'm going to tell you a story.
A tease. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Because by the way, Broads, we're recording this the day that we're recording with Jessica Lignato, but this episode is coming out the yeah following week. So
yeah,
I'm sure a lot. I need to hear about the park. There, literally last time, we're like, there's all these things we need to talk about.
I have bullet points.
But you know what? You know what that means? Endless conversations in the future.
Chatty Broads, forever.
Okay, Broads.
Chat soon.
Chat soon. Love you all. Remember, your first impressions are better than you think. Love you.
Yes.
Be yourselves. Go out there and live your life.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery. There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here,
right now. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.